And pray that you'll just, I want you to, when you mention prayer, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Gray, Tennessee, near Johnson City, has been inundated with COVID so bad that they may have to close the church down for a while. And there run several hundred in the church. In fact, one of the people of the church died. And pray for that family, the church today. It's going through it. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I'm going to spend a few weeks, by God's grace, in the book of Genesis. This is my favorite. Everybody has, I guess, favorite thing. I have a favorite book. Genesis is my favorite book. I love it. There's so much there to think about. And so tonight we're going to deal with the creation account. In chapter 1, I'm going to deal with the when of creation, when creation began. And then I'm going to deal with the who of creation, who created it all. And then I'm going to deal thirdly here tonight with the what of creation. What was actually created? What was created? What did God create? And what does it picture tonight? I thought about, when we go to this, look at all this, we're going to see, we call the first 10 commandments of God. For in this Bible, you find the word he said 10 times. When God said something, he meant it. And that's the set of commandments that's never been broken. The ones in Exodus have been broken, but not here. Because when God said something here, it was in his hands and he did it all. And I thank the Lord for it. Now think with me, first of all, as we look at this, the when of creation, the when it all began. I want you to notice here, in those 10 words here, there are 10 in the English Bible and there are 7 in the Hebrew Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, this pictures a incomplete creation. It also pictures a man incomplete without the work of Spirit of God upon him. You'll see what I mean here by incomplete. When God created it, you'll see that the Spirit of God had to move on the face of the waters and so forth on the waste of the earth. And God did wonderful things here. But let me just begin here. I'll go back to that in a moment. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But go down with me. Look here in verse 2 and 3. Because if you look at these verses, verse 2 and 3, when God created, he goes on in the next two verses to tell you how what he did here, what he did when he did it, how he did it, and so forth. Now, there's a similarity in verse 2 and 3 between the creation account and you and me when we were created. And the earth was without form. In other words, that deals with disorder. A state of disorder. When it says without form, when God first created, is without form. It was a state of disorder. I think that's you and me when we got created. I think we were created in a state of disorder. And then I look over here. I see the second word, and void. Now that word void here has the idea of emptiness there, deadness. So when God originally created it there, now let me stop right here. I do not, and I hope you don't either, believe in what is known as the gap theory. The gap theory is there's a gap between verse 1 and verse 2 and 3, and that problem with that is they say, well, God did this and then took millions of years later for he to do verse 2 and 3. That is called the doctrine of baloney. I believe with all my heart, God created all in 7 days. Amen? He created all in 7 days. Literal days. But when he created in verse 1, he had to continue bringing order to it in verse 2 and 3. So you find this order and there in verse 2, and he says the earth was without form. It was a state of disorder. That's what the word means there. And deadness, void, empty. Now that's also a picture of you and me. When we were created empty of God, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then that word there, and darkness, well, darkness, that here is a picture of us in spiritual darkness until God, through the new birth, took away the disorder, took away the deadness, and took away the darkness. And God did that, and I believe God put that there for a reason, because that's also a picture of us. And I realize that today, and I hope you understand the truth of that. There are two references when I think of the words, in the beginning, God. Anybody know where the other one is? John 1:1 is a wonderful truth. Let's leave this for a moment and go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, for just a moment. And you see here the second time, there are only two times in Scriptures you'll find that phrase, in the beginning, God. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. Now, in the beginning of John chapter 1 was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word what? Was God. Now, that's important because the Word here, the Lord Jesus, He's the one that actually created it all. Did you know that? He was assigned that task. And we're going to look at that in a moment. Look there. Look at verse 3. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and His life was the light of men. So you recognize right here, and you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He reminds us also. It was the Son who was given the assignment to create the world in which we live. So He brought order to disorder, He brought life to deadness, and He brought light, and He brought life to deadness and light to darkness. So our Lord did that. Now, I don't know how many have ever heard of the gap theory. You know, how many have heard of that? Let me see your hands. Well, the gap theory would again dispute what I have said there. I believe the earth to be about 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years. That's all it is. And I have good scientist friends who have backed that out, scientific friends who have backed that out down through the years, and I rejoice in that. So here we have the when of creation, when, in the beginning, God, when, and that doesn't mean that God had a beginning, but this world had a beginning, and God did it all, and I hope you understand that. So that's the when of creation. Now think with me, the who of creation. Note this. Let's go back to verse 1. In the beginning, God. Now, there are three primary names for God in the Old Testament. I think I've mentioned those to you before, but I want you to know the first one is God here, G-O-D, and that is the Hebrew word Elohim. It's an interesting word because it is a plural noun. Now, why is it a plural noun? Because there's more than one person to the triune Godhead. There is a Trinity of God here. And God, Elohim, and in this chapter, 32 times God is mentioned, God is named here, 32 times in chapter 1 here. And so I want you to understand the truth of that, of the 31 verses, there are 32 times the word God is mentioned in this chapter. He wants you to know that. Now the Bible never defends itself. The Bible's like a lion. A lion doesn't have to defend itself. The Bible doesn't. He just said in the beginning, God created. God created. The second name, now it's interesting, because up until you come to the, turn with me to, before I do that. Look at chapter 1 and verse 26. I was talking about a plural noun here, and look there in verse 26. And God, that's the Elohim, God said what? He didn't say let me or I will. Would he say let who? Let us. Let us. Now God's the only one that created. So that's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost said, let us make man in our image. In our image. And we'll be dealing with that a little later. And so here we have that name God, a powerful God, referring to the Maker. That name refers to the Maker, the powerful God. Then if you'll go with me and look with me at the second name. Now you have to go over there to name for mediator. I want you to turn, and I forgot to write down the chapters, but just stay with me. Let's go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 2. Now, there's a new name added. So God, That's Elohim. That's a plural noun. He's God, our maker, most powerful person there is, the Lord God. Now look over there in chapter 2 and look at verse 21. Now this is interesting, because not until man is created does it come up with that second name. What is that name? And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in verse 21. Now that's the name, or Jehovah. And whereas the name God speaks of him as powerful, our maker, this name speaks of a personal God, a personal relationship. Now God was not interested, I believe, in having a personal with any of the other creatures. It's us he won that personal relationship with. He created us to have a personal relationship with God. So here he is our mediator. He is our mediator. So God, G-O-D, he is our maker. He's powerful. Here we have Jehovah, or the word for Jehovah, and he is our personal God, and he's our mediator. The only way I can get to the God at all is go through Jesus Christ. One mediator between man and God. Who is it? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. And so we recognize that name. Now, it is several chapters later. You go to chapter 15. So go ahead with me to chapter 15 and look there in chapter 15. You find the third name. Remember God, he's all-powerful, that's Elohim. He's Lord, he's a personal God that has personal friendship and relationship with us. That's why God created that personal relationship with us. Now, and we can do that. I know someone who has a parrot. They've trained that parrot to talk. That's all it can do, just mimic what it hears. But with us, it's a personal relationship with God. We can talk to God. Isn't that good? Just think, meditate on that sometime. That's a truthful, wonderful thought. But we find the third day, and it's Adonai, A-D-O-N-I, Adonai. And you come to chapter 15, and he's talking to Abraham. Or Abraham is talking, and Abraham said, Lord God. Now notice the spelling of the word Lord there. It's a little O, a little R, and a little D. That's how you can make the distinction between Jehovah and Adonai. Now that is referring to the fact that he was a servant of his master. And who is the master? God's the master. And God said, Lord God. In other words, the God of Genesis 1:1 is his master. That's why he calls him Adonai, Lord. And so we see there that name is a very important. And that's his name of preeminence. Abraham was a friend of God, right? The reason why he was a friend, because he knew Jehovah personally, but he also submitted as letting him be his master, and he was his servant. So those three names you'll find all through the book of Genesis, the whole Old Testament Bible, Old Testament, and you realize here. So we have here the name, the one who created it. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 1 there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the word create here is a word which means, comes from the Hebrew word bara, which means to create out of what? Anybody know? Nothing. He created the world out of nothing. And by the way, he created you out of nothing either, too. And without him, you are nothing. Without him, we are nothing. And we need to come to that conclusion, who he really is in our life. And so that here, and thank the Lord. And so we see here that wonderful person who created it, God. Three names that are used here, and he did it, made it out of nothing, made it all out of nothing. Now, what did he make? He created the heavens. Now, underline that word, because that's also a plural noun. There are three heavens. There are three heavens. There's the heaven we call the atmosphere. We look up. Those are the heavens. And that's the atmosphere. And then there is the second heaven, which is the heaven of astronomy, where the sun, the moon, the stars. We know our astronauts go out there and see all this. I remember reading or hearing many, many years ago when the first cosmonaut, who was beat us by the weight of the punch, Russia did, and they went up there and they sent him up there. He reported back. He said, I'm up here. We're right. There is no God. I'm up here and I can't find him. He ought to be thankful he didn't find him. Or no man ever seen God and lived. And how God must have laughed at that thought. You think that I'm just here in outer space someplace. And we realize here. And it's interesting. The sun, the moon, the stars, all they got. I thought about the stars. What did he tell Israel? He said, I'll number you as the stars. You know you can't count the stars. Mankind has tried for years, making stronger and stronger telescopes and whatever, to look out. And the more they look out, the more they say, we can't believe it. Trillions and trillions of stars. Well, that's what the Bible taught and teaches. And Israel would become such a nation. Like the sand of the sea, you can't count the stars of heaven. You can't count the sand of the sea. And so it's created out of nothing. And nothing is, someone said it well when he said it is a zero with the rim knocked off. That's what we are, nothing. That's how God created it. Now think with me also, I was thinking of this before we think further here. We look here at the who of creation. But you know, God has revealed himself seven different ways. You might want to take note of these. God has revealed who God is in seven different ways. God has done that. Now, first is creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day utter speech. Night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language, for their voice is not heard. Psalm 19. That's creation. And we know that God created that, and God has revealed himself in creation. We know if you go to Romans 1, he talks about that. There, we'll not take time to know that. And what else is how God has created? He's revealed himself through this book. That's the second way he's revealed himself. I am so glad to have this book tonight. I may not have my glasses with me. For those who are listening in, you're probably laughing at that, but that's okay. I don't have my hearing aids on. And so if you don't like my message tonight, I don't have to hear about it. I can't hear you. It's okay. And I can't see you if you don't are sleeping tonight. But think with me, the Bible. Wonderful book, isn't it? God's revealed himself through his scriptures. And I thought about that. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to just show you maybe a little bit of these seven ways God has revealed himself. Did it through creation. He does it through the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, that is the word of God, came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. This book I have here is God speaking to us. And I thank the Lord. Now keep in mind, I told them not too long ago, there are two Greek words in the New Testament for the word word. The first one is the word logos. You're familiar with it. In the beginning was the word, that's the logos. But there's another word, rhema. You know what that means? That's when you read the Bible and it speaks to you. Has the Bible spoken to you lately? I hope it has. I'm often amazed, and I don't tell people this because I want everybody to think I'm smart and not stupid as I am. Every time I read the Bible, I see something I never saw before. I do, or I mean that. And God does that. The rhema, he pulls it out and puts it in my mind. And we thank the Lord for that. That's the second way. Now the third way here, God has revealed himself through miracles. Through miracles. We're in the book of Exodus dealing with Moses. I want you to know something. Moses performed some 10 pretty mighty miracles there. But you know, I don't have to go to the book of Exodus to see miracles. I believe God is performing miracles in my life daily and in your life daily. And I think you ought to thank God for them, because those reveal who he is. And I believe also God has revealed himself through the prophets. Through the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, as they spoke, and God spoke to them through the Bible, through creation, through miracles, and God has revealed himself. You're near it. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I want you to notice that, because the most important, I believe, of all, other than the Word of God, is this. God has spoken, God has revealed himself through the Bible. Look there in chapter 1 of Hebrews, book of Hebrews, verse 2. Who being in the brightness has in these last days, verse 2 of chapter 1, has in these last days spoken to us how? By his son. By the way, I want to say this reverently. The Bible makes no difference without the Son. Because how would I understand it if he hadn't saved me? All the miracles, what good are they if I don't have a personal relationship with God through Christ? What about the prophets that spoke? Mean nothing to me without Christ. What is creation? If it wasn't for the creation account, I'd be like the evolutionists. I'd believe what they believe. I thank God I don't believe what the evolutionists believe. You're not going to make a monkey out of me tonight. Not going to do that. And I hope he doesn't make it to you. And then number 6, God has revealed himself to the believers. You know, you are a... turn with me, I forgot to... go to Corinthians. Try 2 Corinthians. Just go somewhere in 2 Corinthians and I'll catch up with you. Go there to chapter 3, I believe it is. Chapter 3. Look at verse 1, verse 2 and 3. For you are our epistles written in hearts known and read of all men. Look at that. You know how you know people know get to know God? They look at me, they look at you. And when we're living differently, they see God. For he says in the next verse, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministering by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Oh, God's made a difference. And so God has revealed himself through creation, through the Bible, through the prophets, through miracles, through Christ, through the believers, and through the Holy Spirit. Wow. Holy Spirit. You can just ask me how I know there's a God tonight. I am so dogmatic about that. I believe there is a God with all my heart tonight. Can I prove it? I can prove it now, but you're not going to accept it. I remember years ago, I was trying to win an atheist to the Word of God, to salvation, and I gave him all the biblical reasons, about all the scientific reasons. The earth is round, and I went on and on and on. He looked at me and he said, well, that still doesn't do anything for me. And I thought to myself, he's right. I should have just given him the gospel. And I've led 3 professing atheists to the Lord in my time. I don't try to explain. I don't defend it. I just give them, show them Christ. And God converted their hearts. And they've accepted Christ. That's what it's all about. And so we realize, if you go back to our passage in Genesis, if you will, please, we see the truth of these, and so we see here. And by the way, the creation account, it refutes atheism. Refutes it. Now, it's one thing to say you're an atheist. I remember that statement by Khrushchev. Remember that character, little fat guy? I'm not referring to Santa Claus. He didn't have a beard, Jesse. But he said, "I don't believe in God. And so help me God, I never will." And people laughed at him. But God gets the last laugh. For he laughed when you think of that. Atheism. It refutes also polytheism. There's only one God. One God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, you said that's three, isn't it? No, that's still one. Can you explain that? I can't explain that. And there is no illustration to make that real in your life. You just accept it by faith. And by faith, by the way, is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have faith. Faith in Him. It refutes humanism. We're going to go one day, if the Lord allows me to stay here that long, I'll look at chapter 11. We're going to see when they made the Tower of Babel. That whole, matter of fact, it just illustrates humanism. Now, what is humanism? Humanism is a belief that denies the deity of Christ and God. It humanizes God, but it deifies man. And it minimizes sin. Because man now is God, and God can't sin. How about that one? That's an atheist. That's humanism in all of its teaching. Now go back to our text tonight in Genesis 1. And so we see here as we go down. Now you're going to find a phrase here as you look at this. You're going to find that phrase here, God said. Look at verse 3. Now go through this week that first chapter and you will find in that first chapter 10 times you'll find God said. And when God says something, it's truth. And He created. Now, look what He did. I'm just going to real quickly spend a few moments going through the 7 days of creation. Now, they're literal 7 days. The word day, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, that's interesting because that's without the sun, moon, and the stars. God created light before He created sun, moon, and stars. God did that. Say, well, how can you have light without sun, moon, and stars? Because God is light. God is light. And He did it. He said, "And let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Now you're going to find a phrase here. Seven times is the word here, and that it was good. So the first day He created light. Didn't create the sun, the moon, the stars yet, but He created light. And here He said, "And God called the light what?" Now that's a word we take for granted. We say, "Well, man, you know what's something new about that?" Well, God's, why do we call the day day? Because God said this is the day. You know why we call the night night? Because God calls it night. It's where they got those terms from. It's amazing how much light, there's the word, that God sheds on what we believe. Even in a secular world today, they still call day, day, and night, night. Look at it. Now, there's something interesting here in verse 6, 7, and 8. I want you to see this tonight because you're going to find there's only one of the 6 days, 7 days, that God said it's not good. This is the day. Day two. Now look at it. God said, "Let there be light. Let there be a firmament." Now underline the word firmament because the word itself means space. That's space. In the midst of the waters. Now when God created the world, can I say it nicely, it was all wet. Everything was water when God created it. Then God began to form land and form the things that he formed and the creatures in the and there and the, well, everything. But look at here. And God said, let there be a firmament, a space in the midst of the waters, and let the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. Now let me stop right here. And I hope I don't confuse you. But when God created the heavens and earth, there was water above the firmament. It was called a canopy. Remember when God brought the flood on the earth, what did he do? He just released that canopy from above, and water just literally drowned the earth from above. Now stop here secondly. Why do you and I age? Now let's not go into a lot of stuff on that one, because some of you are as old as dirt. I'm glad I'm not. We laugh at that, don't we? But God would not allow the rays of the sun directly hit the earth. And there was an even temperature, and it was one reason, most important reason, why people did not age before the flood. You'll find people died 969 years, I think Methuselah, whether you like, that's old. That makes me a kid. Makes you a kid. And there we go. And so we realize that when God did that, he was a firmament. Look here further. And God made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now the firmament we would call space. Where does the prince of the power of the air rule? In space. He's the God of the world, isn't he? Who is that God? Who is it? See, Satan had fallen somewhere before creation took place. When? I don't know. I wasn't there. But we know if you look at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you see the description of his fall there. And then he, of course, after his fall, he wanted some followers. By the way, he took one-third of the angels down with him. How do I know that? Revelation tells that. And then he went after mankind. But he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the God of the sea. So God didn't say it was good that day. That's very interesting. Because the old devil was living in the space. Then you come to verse 9. You find here, and God let the waters under the earth. Now keep in mind, the whole universe and everything was water. God divided from the waters above, the waters below. And then the next day, what did he do? He divided land from the seas. So there'd be land upon which man could live, animals could live, and so forth. And we find here, verse 3, verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the earth be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. As it was so, and God called the dry land what? Earth. What does a scientist call the earth? Call this dry land. What do they call it? Earth. Where do they get that word from? How about the Bible? How about giving God the credit for even what man calls it today? And gathered together the waters, and he called them what? Seas. We talk about the seven seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, for the grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit thereof, yielding fruits after its kind, with seeds in itself, and upon the earth, and it was so. So God kept creating here. So he brought grass, he brought vegetation to the earth there on that third day. And then he says there, and verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding and seed after its kind, and now the yielding tree yielding fruit with seed in itself with its kind, and God saw what? It's good. It's good. In the evening and morning was the third day. Then we come to the fifth day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for season, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, the firmament, remember, space. And then he made two lies. Get this. God made two great lies. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. Now, how did Moses know that the sun was bigger than the moon? God had to tell him that. It was a greater, meaning bigger. I'm told by, I read here that I've got it here in a minute. The sun could hold and contain 6 million moons. It's a bigger light, greater light. How did Moses know that? Because God told him. See, there's nothing in this creation account that is error in one bit of it. I want you to believe that tonight. And God said it was good. Now I'm going to go down to verse 20. You say you're rushing. Yeah, that's what the clock tells me to do. And now I'm coming to that sixth day. So God made the stars, sun, the moon, all that in heaven. And then verse 20, the sixth day, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So God created then the birds that fly above, and he created those things. And notice here, God created great whales. Now, the word whales here is from an interesting word. It's a word for sea monsters. Now, I'm convinced, as I read my Bible, dinosaurs roamed this earth when God created them. Okay? I believe the oldest book of the Bible is Job. You're teaching, right? I don't know if you got to about Leviathan yet, but I believe that if you go to the book of Job, you will find the descriptions of large dinosaurs that roamed this earth in the early, early days. Sea monsters, so forth. And they were even after the flood. Flood didn't do them all. Noah was told to put them in the ark. Now, I don't believe he put a big one in there. I think he got a couple little ones, put them in that ark. Now, I'm a firm believer that the prehistoric monsters, not prehistoric, but monsters right in the book of Job were there. Aren't you glad they're not here today? We have enough monsters in Washington and not having any others. Amen? You believe that tonight? Well, I'm going to just close here in a minute. Then go down to verse 7. Verse 24, here's the seventh day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after its kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after its kind. It was so. God called them, made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after its kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God said that it was what? Good. Now we're going to pick up next time in verse 26, because God creates man differently. God will create man to rule over the earth. There's only one thing that he could not rule over. Are you ready for this? Himself. God said, I'll do that one. And I thought about Adam, named all those animals. Wow. Well, we're going to pick up there in verse 26, by God's grace, next time, and see here how God created man, different than the other animal. There's one feature of man that the animal world does not have. We'll deal with that next week. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for the teaching.